support the growing diversity of our teaching force across the state. I direct a small nonprofit that is an education nonprofit, the Minnesota Education Equity Partnership, and it's one of our goals to push for practice and policy that could make that happen. We note that, and I note that over the last 30 years, the diversity of our teaching corps in the state hasn't moved an inch. 30 years ago, it was under 4% of our teaching corps. Today, it's less than 4% of our teaching corps. And yet our student population, its diversity has grown during that same period of time from about 9% of our student population to pretty close to 30% are right now. And that's true anywhere you go. Suburban communities in the Twin Cities, our regional centers, our small rural communities. If you go into the school districts, they're phenomenally diverse. Institutions and schools, they really reflect and point to us, you know, where the future lies in our state, strength through diversity, which then I think requires us to provide the kind of policies and laws that can really encourage and leverage that for success for the state. So that's my overall big goal. Madam Chair, I have several others, but we'll get into that as we go through the session with bills. I just want to say it's a pleasure to serve with your chair. Representative Erickson and I have been dancing the dance for quite a while, and sometimes we bang heads pretty big. You can hear the crack across the hallway. And sometimes we've done some really good work together. I appreciate the sincerity, honesty, and openness that she brings to the legislative process. And so I look forward to a well-led committee throughout the rest of this legislative session. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Bennett. Thank you, Madam Chair, and good to see everybody. I represent District 27A, which is the largest city would be Albert Lea down in southern Minnesota, and kind of covers a wide swath of the central area of the state down by the Iowa border. And this is my second term. I also am happy to be back on the Ed Policy Committee. It was a joy to serve on this committee for the last 2 years and get to know school districts at a different level. I've been a teacher for 33 years. I just retired a couple of years ago now, so I can focus on this job. I actually grew up in the Twin Cities, kind of in the suburbs, right Bear Lake area, and then later Mound. And I got my first teaching job in Albert Lea in 1981. And I remember looking on the map, I was, where is Albert Lea? And didn't particularly want to go that far away from home, but once I was down there and started in, now you couldn't tear me away. I love it there. It's a beautiful area if you've never been to the southern Minnesota area. In my 33 years of teaching, I taught mostly first grade, but also I taught special ed, third grade, and kindergarten. And I actually, personally at home, I have three fur kids. I call them fur kids. I have one very large 110-pound Shiloh Shepherd. And once in a while, he comes to the Capitol building, or to the state office building, so you maybe have seen him. And I have two ragdoll cats. And I also have over 750 kids, because I count all my former students as part of my family. You know, those of us who have been teachers, we know that they become part of you. So they're my kids. And I actually had the honor of having one of my former first graders, who's now in fourth grade, join me for the swearing-in ceremony. We get to choose one special guest to sit with us on the floor, and I chose this young man named Nicholas, and he was just wowed by the whole thing, and we had a tour of the Capitol. He got to meet the governor, so he was flying high, and it was fun for me to see everything through the eyes of a child, because there's nothing like that. I think teaching is a balance of art and science, both, and part of being a teacher is, I think you're born with it, some of it. And then, of course, we go to school and we get educated and learn more. But I think once a teacher, you're always a teacher. That becomes part of it's in your heart. So I'm pleased to be able to serve on both of our education committees here. My goal, I guess my overriding goal I have is to just empower local school districts and schools for to be able to make more decisions within, you know, common sense. Obviously, some things need to be made at the state level, but I think I'd like to see more power go down to their local schools, because I know in my own classroom, one size fits all doesn't work when I'm teaching, and I just don't believe in many cases one size fits all works very well even as a state. So that would be my goal, and like I said, there's certain things obviously at a state level that we want to have everybody doing, but let's bring more decision-making power down to the school district level.
Representative Grass.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Matt Grossel. I'm from District 2A, and that covers Lake of the Woods County, Beltrami County, Clearwater County, and Hubbard, part of Hubbard County. The school districts that are in my area are the Bemidji School District and Lake of the Woods School District, Black Duck, Kellyer, Bagley, Clearbrook, Gonvick, LaPorte, and Red Lake. So I've got a pile of different school districts in my area. It's a very large area of the state. So it goes from the Canadian border down to Akeley, Minnesota, and then from the city of Bemidji, edge of the city of Bemidji, over to Polk County and Clearwater County lines. So it's it covers quite a bit of ground. I guess my main goal here is to provide the best possible education for the kids, and also, like Peggy said, to empower the school districts and the parents to have more control and more authority of what's being taught in taught to their children.
Representative Jessup.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Randy Jessup. I'm from District 42A, which composes of Shoreview, Arden Hills, and Moundsview. I think I'm more like Carlos and less like you, Matt. I really only have one essential school district in our community, and that is Moundsview, District 623. I think there's a small portion of families that also go to Roseville. I'm sorry, Moundsview 621. We have a small portion of families perhaps that also attend the Roseville School District as well, which, if I am correct, is 623. My background is not teaching, so I'm a little bit unusual versus some of the others here on the committee. My redeeming value is that I have two sisters who are teachers. Both of my parents were teachers. Three of my grandparents were teachers, and one of my brother-in-law is a professor. So I have redeeming value through my family. I am a small business owner, and I have four UPS stores, one in Roseville, one in St. Paul, and two in downtown Minneapolis. And that experience has been beneficial to understand that each community has different priorities and how they perceive their community. But one overall goal, I would say, that I have seen from customers in each of those areas is that education is very important. I think we all can agree that we are very, very concerned about the kids, our kids, and also those children of those in our communities. And so I am greatly honored and humbled to be able to serve on this committee for this session. This is my first year in the Minnesota legislature, so I'm looking forward to working with all of my peers, as well as those certainly who have greater experience in the world of education as we move forward. If I have goals, I would say, Madam Chair has kind of already established it for all of us. I do believe in local empowerment of our teachers. I've always been of the mind that when it comes to a child, the people that know that child best are going to be parents, family, and probably that child's teacher. And I'm thinking more on the elementary level when I'm saying that. And I believe that teachers have a real passion to see their children succeed. And so I like to empower those individuals that have put themselves forward into those positions. Thank you.
Representative Kunish Podin.
Good morning and thank you. I'm Representative Mary Kunish Podin. This is my first term as a legislator. I represent District 41B, which includes St. Anthony Village, the southern half of New Brighton, Columbia Heights, and then a little mobile home community, Hilltop. I'm very excited to be here and really appreciative to be on this committee. A little bit about me. I was born in St. Paul and grew up in Sartell, Minnesota, just about 80 miles north of here, so I feel like I'm a city rural girl. I did not get my teaching degree until I was 35 years old. So I started teaching when I was 35, well over 20, 21 years ago, and I teach in Robbinsdale School District. I'm a library media specialist there. A goal that I would like to achieve or to understand better is how we can meet the needs of all of our students so that they become a well-rounded community member. And I'm especially interested in how we can support our special education program, both with funding and staffing. I would like to look at how we can support students who need to be challenged and find accelerated programs for them, whether they're inside the school or in a partnership with community organizations. And then I would hope that we would address the rising mental health issues of our students. For 15, 17 years, I worked in an elementary school in North Minneapolis and in Robbinsdale, and it's a little alarming to see the number of students that are dealing with mental health issues, either themselves or in their homes. And if there's a way that we can help address those needs and help that student to become everything that they can, then I think my goal is done. Thank you.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Representative Lee, representing District 59A in North Minneapolis. I represent the Minneapolis Public School District, and I am also a proud graduate of the Minneapolis Public School System. So my background, in 2014, I was a House page for the Elections and Civil Law Committee. And one goal for me is to provide perspective from, or to be an advocate for our language learners or new immigrants who, similar to my background, my family came to the United States in 1992 and was a refugee. So just wanted to provide that, just be an advocate for our family members.
Representative Pryor.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here this morning. Glad I made it. I'm Lori Pryor. I represent 48A. Interestingly enough, I grew up in Austin, Minnesota, very close to Albert Lea. We're kind of the twin cities of the southern Minnesota area, Austin-Albert Lea. But now I'm moved to the Twin Cities. I live in Minnetonka and Eden Prairie is my district. And I represent the Hopkins School District, the Minnetonka School District, and the Eden Prairie School District. So my background, from Austin, Minnesota, graduated from Austin High School. My kids went to Hopkins Public High Schools. And right now my oldest granddaughter is a kindergartner at the Minneapolis Public High School, public schools. So, you know, a little bit of diversity in understanding school districts across the state. My goal, I think, for being on part of this committee, you know, in addition to what other people are talking about, is I think in the, you know, the last few sessions we've had some initiatives in policy, and one goal I have is to be checking back in and seeing what our success is and to see things that are working and to really roll it out on a state level so that we have an impact, and things that are not working to know that, hey, we tried it, and to learn from it and move on. So I know that we have, you know, the achievement gap that we keep looking at. We're talking about mental health initiatives. That's been some of our past. And we need to know what we can do and what we can do better and how we can roll that out in an effective way across the state. So thank you all.
Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jason Rarick. I'm from District 11B, that is Pine County and about half of Kennebec County, right between the Twin Cities Oath. My school districts, I have Pine City, Mora, Hinkley-Finlayson, East Central, Moose Lake, and parts of Braham. My background, I've been an electrician for 25 years. I've been a self-employed contractor for the last 12 years. I served on an apprenticeship committee for the St. Paul Union for about 5 years. So part of what I want to bring to this committee is trying to get back, helping to get industrial arts programs and maybe ag programs back into our schools. We're seeing such a huge demand, people not going into the trades, and we need to be promoting that and getting into our schools to make kids aware of just what the need is and how good those careers are. So.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Dean Erdahl. I represent District 18A. This is my eighth term here, several of which have been spent on education committees. I represent the school districts of Atwater, Cosmos, Grove City, Eden Valley, Watkins, Litchfield, Hutchinson, and Dassel, Cocato. Counties of Meeker, three townships in McLeod County, including actually half the city of Hutchinson. Our good friend Glenn Brunhagen has the other half. And then the one township in Wright County, Cocato. And as far as, well, I'll give a little more background here. I'm a graduate of Litchfield High School. My family came to Litchfield in 1856, where my great-great-grandfather founded the town. I graduated from St. Cloud State. My wife, Karen, I have three sons, two of which kind of roam around this building. One works for the Republican Caucus, the other is a lobbyist. I have 10 grandchildren, 5 boys, 5 girls, and my dog, Slim. My goal, an area where I've been trying to work over the years is to do things to help improve the quality of our teachers in Minnesota. Not to say that we have poor teachers, but there are things that really can be done to make them even better. One of them is a bill that I'd like to see passed this year that wasn't a tax bill but was vetoed, and that is offering incentives for teachers to get master's degrees in their content areas, in other words, in what they teach. In a larger sense, my goal is, this session, since I chair the Capital Investment Committee, is to see that we get a bonding bill done.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize for being late. Several of us were stuck in bad traffic. I live roughly 9 miles door-to-door here, and so I was on the road for about an hour and 15 minutes and kept getting rerouted because of accidents. But it has taken me 2.5 hours to get to an education meeting when we've had storms like this. I'm State Representative Joanne Ward. My district is 53A. That's part of Woodbury, part of Maplewood, South Maplewood, part of Oakdale, and all of the city of Landfall. And this is my third term. So I have Washington County and Ramsey County. School districts are 622 and 833, both suburban school districts. I'm a former teacher, and I came to Minnesota having had 3 years of teaching experience in the state of Washington and was licensed then in 7 states. Came to Minnesota, and that, I mean, this was a long time ago, was faced with having to go back to school to meet requirements to be certified. I didn't do that largely because that was at a time when they were laying teachers off. We had a surplus of teachers, and now we're faced with a real shortage, and we have some challenges along that line that I think we made some progress on in the last 2 years.
So I have three children. My husband and I have three children, and he's a private business owner. Kids are all grown. We have six grandchildren, and they all live in the Twin Cities, largely because this is such a great place to be. There's so many opportunities in Minnesota. They all wanted to come back here. So I think we've all had trouble naming one goal. So I'm going to follow on that as well. I have a real priority for early childhood family education. That is a crown and the jewel of Minnesota's education philosophy, program standards, and we have been starving this program. As school districts have tight budgets, it's been really easy to pull money from ECFE. And I believe that has had a great impact on our achievement gap. We need family education. As several of my colleagues have mentioned, their work in trades and industry and technical work. I also have a background in vocational education and have been lobbying to do some. So I'm really looking forward to working on getting some of those things done. We have jobs going hunting or wanting, and we need to give kids the tools and the vision to be able to move into those areas. So early childhood family education, vocational education, and arts integration. We all know how important arts is to creative thinking and developing full potential, no matter what we end up doing in life. Mental health is another issue that I think we need to pay real close attention to. I'm working on developing some ways to identify mental health issues early. When we do this preschool screening clinic, if we can ask a few extra questions on the questionnaire parents fill out, if we have the professionals prepared to identify some mental health issues, we'll be able to get support and help for kids and their families before they get to kindergarten. So a big piece of all that I do is about early intervention and giving people the skills and abilities and opportunities that they need.
Representative Barr, for introducing ourselves, yeah. And I think you've caught on.
Yeah, I hope so anyway. My name is Representative Cal Barr. I represent 31B, which is Ham Lake, East Bethel Forest Lake, or Linwood and Columbus. My school districts are St. Francis, Anoka Hennepin, and Forest Lake school districts. And I would like to be advocating to put the trades more of an apprenticeship program through the high school area. A couple employers and the last couple of years of high school together to show that you can make a good living in the trades.
Representative Haley.
Good morning, and my apologies as well for being late.
Move your microphone in front of you.
Good morning, my apologies for being late. I represent 21A, Red Wing, Lake City, Cannon Falls. Normally about an hour from here, but this morning about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So the high schools or school districts are Red Wing, Lake City, Wabasha, Goodhue, and Cannon Falls. My background is in business, about 15 years in the telecommunications industry, and then spent quite a bit of time in nonprofits consulting. I was the first executive director for an education initiative called Every Hand Joined, which many of you are probably familiar with as part of the EPC coalition. Spent some time in healthcare on a hospital board, and most recently in workforce. I'll kind of connect those dots for you. I have a very strong belief in linking education and industry, and that comes from my experience on the Every Hand Joined initiative, and then doing some work with our local high school. My son was actually very interested in robotics, very much a hands-on learner, so I helped launch a robotics program at our high school. And that led me to taking students on tours of manufacturing sites so that they could see some type of automation in real life. And out of that kind of three-year journey and talking to many, many manufacturers, my district is about 30 to 40% of a manufacturing industry base. And most of those folks said, Bob, these are the kids we want to hire. How do we follow them through their high school career and their post-secondary career? how do we connect to the education system to get the skill readiness that we're going to need to fill the job pipeline. So all those discussions led me to a workforce project in my district, and then I decided to run for office. So here I am. But that really is my passion from pre-K readiness, as many other representatives have talked about, all the way to career readiness. And I see that career readiness piece being critical as we try to, help our fill this job pipeline and connect our industry. So those are some of the things I'd like to work on.
Thank you, members. And I think those in the audience know now to whom you can bring some of those proposals that you're working on, because you've heard a special areas of interest, and it's really good. You know, don't give them all to the chair, please, because the chair will pass them on.
Madam Chair.
Representative Rudolph.
I forgot to tell the folks that, of course, I was a teacher for 35 years at New London Spicer, mostly American history, 7th grade. And for those who wonder why I'm limping around with a cane, I had knee replacement surgery on November 11th.
Well, thank you for those additional comments.
Well, I'm always good for additional comments.
And you're Mr. Civics also. I think we know you as Mr. Civics. So anyway, let's move to our new nonpartisan House researcher. We're so delighted to have her. As most of you know, Lisa Larson retired after a long, honorable career here. And we have now Christina. So please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Christina Pera. I practiced law for about close to 7 years. Then I stayed home for a few years with my kids. And I started here in house research in November, right after Election Day. And I'm excited to work with you all.
Thank you. And we really welcome you, and we know that we'll have some good sessions together with her expertise, because I've already read some of her legislation, and it's a real honor to have her writing skills and her thinking skills with us. Then we'll move to our staff. I'll start with my staff first. I have a CA, and I have a committee legislative assistant. So, Andrew Hasek, will you begin?
My name is Andrew Hasek. I'm the committee administrator for this committee. I've been with this committee specifically for 1 year. And I've been with the Republican Caucus since the beginning of 2015. I originally graduated from the University of St. Thomas in 2014. I'm from Fairmont, Minnesota. Glad to be here.
And Mr. Brennan?
Tom Brennan. I was here with Andrew in 16 on the Education Policy Committee. In 2013 and 14, I was the House Sergeant's Office. That's all I have.
And he's about to become a father. So you may not see him here next week. And we'll be so excited. They're going to have a baby boy. That's really exciting. And as you know, Anna Wills, our representative who doesn't serve with us this year, is about to deliver twins. So we are having babies, and we love it. That'll move us to, let's start with GOP research. And Amy, if you would take the microphone and say a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know where to look, so I'll look at Representative Verdahl. That's perfect. I'm a proud graduate of South St. Paul High School, the good kind of Packers.
Austin.
Oh, Austin as well.
Austin.
Right,
it works.
All right. I'm back with the House Caucus. I worked here many, many years ago in the crime committee area, and then I prosecuted in Dakota County. But the interesting part of spending some time prosecuting is I figured out once somebody is in the adult criminal justice system, it's pretty difficult for some people to get back out of that system, and the key to never being in that system is education. I was a director of compliance with the Department of Education for a number of years and then did a stint in the private sector. And I'm very excited to be back here with the caucus and working on education issues.
And then the DFL researcher, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Maris Beltrandi-Rudquist. My first job here at the House was in 2014. I was a page with Representative Lee and with Tom Brennan. and this will be my first session with the education committees.
Welcome.
Well, I'd just like to go alongside Amy there and just to reaffirm that having a law enforcement background myself, once we get them in that area, you know, like she said, it is tough to get them turned around. So education, helping the kids stay in school, give them incentive to stay in school, encouraging them to stay in education and to continue it, that is a very key for all of us to work on.
And also, there are those in the audience who have ideas about some of those ways. So you can look forward to visits from some of them, because I just met with them yesterday, and it's exciting to hear their ideas. Representative Bly, we're introducing ourselves, so if you would join us, please.
Thank you, and I apologize for being late. Traffic was a little heavier than I anticipated. But so I'm Representative David Bly from Northfield. I represent District 20B, which is Northern Rice County and Eastern Mazur County.
Do you want to say anything about your background?
I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 30 years, and this is my beginning of my fifth term.
And do you have a specialty area, Representative Bly, you want to focus on this session?
I'm interested in career and technical training and also hands-on kind of learning, so which we've talked about before.
Very good. So I think we have quite a few members who want to work in that area, and that is just fantastic. For those in the audience, whether you're a lobbyist or represent a special educational area, if you would come forward, say your name and the organization you represent. I think we're going to have to speed through this, so you know, if you have one little tidbit to share, that's fine. We'll start with the Minnesota School Boards Association, and following them, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. So if you both come up and introduce yourselves. Members, it's important that you know their names and their faces because of the interaction they'll have with them. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association. We represent about 2,000 locally elected school board members from around the state, and we were founded in 1920, so we're getting close to our 100-year anniversary. We're going to focus this year on teacher shortage. We really have heard from our members that it's reaching a crisis, and how can we work through that to improve. We're also interested in innovation and research, and we really think it's time that there was some flexibility granted for school districts who really want to try some new and innovative programs. And so we'll be talking about that as we go. I'll leave a couple for Gary.
Mr. Amoroso.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm member of the committee. Gary Amoroso, Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Our association represents the school superintendents of the state, as well as other district-level administrators, such as assistant superintendents, executive directors, curriculum directors, technology leaders, things of that nature. And we're very excited to be working with all of you in the upcoming session. As we were listening to many of the areas of interest that you have, and in fact, Ms. Kelleher just hit our top two priorities, which is the teacher shortage issue, which I would suggest is an epidemic in this state, and it's getting worse on a yearly basis. I appreciate the work that the chair did last year, along with the Senate, to try and begin to craft some small things to try and address the area. I know that we're working very hard on teacher licensure in the legislature, and we will continue to want to be partners with you as we move forward in looking at how do we license our teachers, how do we create incentives for our teachers, how do we get more people to want to be teachers. I heard so many of you talk about your backgrounds in education as teachers. What can we do not only for the teachers that are currently teaching to help empower them, but how do we empower our youth to want to become teachers? And so we're excited to work with you on that. And another area of emphasis is, as Ms. Keller said, the whole area of innovation. We were very involved with passing an innovation zone bill a few years back. I think you're going to be seeing innovation 2.0 this year, which will help stretch us even further that we're going to be involved in. With that, we look forward to working with all of you, and thank you, Madam Chair, for the time.
Thank you. Roger Aronson and John Klaber, representing principals and special education. And if there's anyone else out there with special education, please come forward.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Roger Aronson. Excuse me. I represent the Elementary and Secondary Principal Associations, and I also represent the Minnesota State High School League. So those three clients will visit with you here from time to time on various issues. We have 1,900 school principals, principals and assistant principals throughout the state. I'm a longtime member of the lobbying community here. I actually have represented these clients here since 1982. That seems more recent in my mind maybe than it does for a lot of you. This year, and as we've listened to the statements that you've all made here, I think the comments that the committee's made are very much in line with the group's goals. The secondary principals are particularly interested in college and the schools, and seeing that our teachers are appropriately licensed within the variance piece that is being set up right now through MNSCU and the Higher Learning Commission. Elementary principals are very interested in additional staff development for principals, and as we talk about that with the teacher shortage as well as where that fits there. And then finally, school discipline is a very important matter this year. You're going to hear a task force report ultimately. We're interested in doing things on the front end of school discipline, and then also we need relief from a Supreme Court decision that took away an awful lot of local control in school discipline, and we hope to have a bill in front of the committee to discuss that. So we look forward very much, Madam Chair, to you working with you and the members of your committee.
Mr. Klaber.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Klaber, the Executive Director for the State Special Education Director Association, MACE. Our issues this year really revolve around things that don't require money. In general, there's something people respond to positively. Our focus is really on the issue of the academic and behavioral strategist license, the special education license offered by the state of Minnesota, becoming the primary license for teachers and the only license that requires that a teacher within 5 years return to college, take graduate coursework in order to keep their job. No other license makes that sort of a requirement. And we're talking about young folks who at about that point in their lives are trying to decide, do they want to remain in teaching? Do they want to start a family? Do they want to buy a home? And they're faced with the issue of coming up between $6,000 and $10,000 just to keep their jobs. Our second issue is a thank you for the work last year in the 25% reduction as it relates to paperwork. We're asking this year that you follow up and ask, how's it working? So that we can really talk about how is that impacting the day-to-day functioning, the day-to-day work of our special education teachers. And then our last request is that we be receptive to taking a look at maybe evening the playing field as it comes to some of the special transportation issues that school districts are facing, which is resulting in us expending millions of dollars to transport kids, dollars can be better spent directly serving students. With that, thank you very much.
Thank you. Community Education and Education Minnesota, please come forward. Welcome. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Chair Erickson and committee members. My name is Annette Salmon, and I am the Community Education Director for Stillwater Area Public Schools, and I'm here representing the Minnesota Community Education Association. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share some information about the excellent work happening in community education across the state of Minnesota. Community Education has established a proven statewide school-based network and delivery system of programs and services, which is designed to provide universal access for our youngest to our oldest Minnesotans. Starting with our youngest learners, children birth to 5 years old, along with their parents, can access high-quality, affordable programs during this critical learning period to better prepare our children for a successful academic career. Youth programs ensure K-12 learners have access to quality out-of-school academic enrichment, youth development, community service, and after-school care opportunities. These programs reduce risk-taking behaviors, promote strong social and emotional growth, and increase connectedness to schools and communities. adult basic education programs, including GED and ELL classes, promote an educated workforce, which is key to Minnesota's prosperity, by providing essential education and skill building that improve the economy by increasing the number of educated and fully employable adults in the community. Senior programs serve as a gateway to the nation's aging network, connecting older adults to vital community services that can help them stay healthy and independent. Research shows that older adults who participate in senior programs can learn to manage and delay the onset of chronic diseases and experience measurable improvements in their physical, social, emotional, mental, and economic well-being. Nearly 285,000 children are served in community education, early education programs, including early childhood family education, school readiness, voluntary preschool, home visiting, and early childhood screening. Over 1.7 million youth are served through community education development youth service, school age care, and general youth programming. Over 900,000 adults participate in adult education, early childhood parent education, adults with disabilities, and senior programs. Community education programs are vital to Minnesota's future. We operate efficiently and look to innovate as we build relationships and support learning in our communities. Thank you for this time.
Thank you for coming.
Very good.
Education Minnesota. Welcome. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Jody Boer. I'm with Education Minnesota. And I'll start, so we'll be brief. One of our top priorities this year, as it was last year, is to continue to work on the issue that's been mentioned already by some, and that is the teacher shortage. So we talk about it in terms of recruitment and retention. And when we look at it in a number of categories, and that is shortage areas both in geographic, which many of you are facing back in your respective communities. Also in content areas, we have shortages. And then, as Representative Mariani mentioned, also in teachers of color. So we hope to continue to working on that. Also, issues that are directly impacting our students, which our teachers are facing around mental health issues. And so we would like to continue to work with you to expand some programs that we know work, that we made some progress in last year, funding for student support services. So for more mental health supports within our school systems is very critical. Also, the full-service community schools concept, which was supported last year, we look to hope to expand that again this year and look forward to working with all of you on those things.
Welcome. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kathy Micheletti with Education Minnesota. As Jody mentioned, since it is a budget year, we will be focusing on the budget issues and hopefully on programs that we know are proven and work for our students. One thing that Representative Erdahl mentioned was making our teachers better, and that would be something that we started work on last year, which is the teacher development and evaluation funding and also QCOMP funding for those programs to help our teachers. And also licensure. We have been following the licensure task force over the interim, and we look forward to working with you on those issues as they move forward into the legislature. We didn't provide any real formal comments today, so we look forward to meeting with you and working with you individually as we move forward into the session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have neglected to mention that we have a staffer from the revisor's office in the audience. Mr. Kevin Bear, would you stand, please? He is our expert in the revisor's office specializing in education issues, and we appreciate the work he's doing, and I'm sure he's drafting at this moment many different proposals that will end up in this committee. Thank you, Mr. Bear. Now let's move to various interest groups. In any order, let me start with Ed Allies. If you would come forward, and on deck is Minnesota Business Partnership.
Morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joshua Cross, and I'm with Ed Allies, which is an education advocacy nonprofit that works
for the benefit of interest of all students. With Ed Allies, you might have heard of the organization MNCAN. Just to kind of give you a brief history there. MNCAN was organized and managed by a national nonprofit. Ed Allies has spun off from that national group, and we're entirely 100% local with the same board, same staff, same funders as before. So, and same mission. With that, we're really focusing on three specific pillars at Ed Allies. Our goals are ensuring that students receive access to high-quality opportunities and resources that they need. Secondly, students have teachers and school leaders who are well-supported and highly effective. And lastly, students attend schools that are rigorous and relevant, both academically and culturally. And under these pillars, we just want to talk about three issues. Be extremely brief here. Two of these issues fall under this mode that's been discussed over and over again, which is we need to improve teacher diversity and fill teacher shortages. We know that teachers of color are half as likely to dismiss students from class and school, and we know that they're twice as likely to place students of color into gifted and talented programs. So with that, the first issue under increasing teacher diversity is improving our licensure system. Over the last few years, under the chair's leadership, we've adjusted laws to create a more streamlined process for out-of-state teachers. I've heard from school administrators and educators throughout the state that have reported back that it's now easier and more understandable to receive a license from the state of Minnesota. So as we move forward with our licensure, modifying our licensure systems to continue on that path of loosening unnecessary restrictions and barriers. And then the second issue, so that is more aligned to recruiting teachers of color. The second issue is retaining teachers of color. We are investing money to train and recruit teachers of color throughout the state. But we have this pesky law on the books called Last In, First Out. It's a law that requires that the state or that any school district lay teachers off based on seniority. So we're getting new teachers of color into the classrooms, but this law requires that we lay them off in times of shortages, budget constraints, and consolidations of schools. So we'd like to see that law, that default, repealed entirely. And with that, I will pass it along to my colleague.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Brandy Bryce Gallagher. I'm a policy director at Ed Allies. In addition to what my colleague shared, we would like to see the legislature prioritize investments in early learning, especially for low-income kids. Before I joined Ed Allies, like many of you, I was an elementary school teacher, and I saw firsthand the impact that early learning had on my students, and research confirmed this. It showed that when students had access to high-quality early learning, they were kindergarten-ready and more likely to succeed in later grades. So with this investment in early learning, we're asking the state to focus on funding programs that accomplish three goals, that they're need conscious, that they're focused on quality, and that they honor parent choice. And so with need conscious, we're asking the state to prioritize funding for programs that target those families with the greatest need, those families living in or near poverty. With quality, we think the state should put any new investments into proven and successful programs like our state scholarship program, and then finally honoring parent choice. We believe that parents should have the option to choose from a diversity of early learning options, whether they be in the community, in traditional public schools, in public charter schools. The key is that parents have the ability to choose the right option for their kids. And so in summary, we're asking for an investment in early learning, and with that, I thank you for the time.
Thank you. We've had two members join us since we started listening to our guests. Representative Christensen, would you introduce yourself, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Drew from Savage. I represent the Prior Lake School District as well as the Burnsville School District and a small portion of the Shakopee School District. I'm excited to be on this committee again and focus on making sure we have great teachers in every classroom and good education for our students.
Just a little trivia. Representative Christensen is the youngest member of our caucus, and he sits on the House floor with the oldest member of our caucus, which is yours truly. So it's really fun to have that invigoration sitting next to me. I love it. Representative May Quaid.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Representative Christensen and I came from the same part of town today, obviously. My name is Erin May Quaid. I represent House District 57A. That's Apple Valley and a small portion of Lakeville. I was actually born and raised and educated in the district that I represent now, so I am proud to serve the teachers and the families that I was raised with and that educated me in the legislature. My background, I've worked for members of Congress and done outreach into the community. I'm really excited to make sure that our public schools are strong because Senator Dibble, Senator Little, myself, and there's another House member in the legislature I'm forgetting right now. We were all educated in Apple Valley Public Schools, ISD 196. And with the great folks we're turning out from our district, I know that we can continue to make sure that education is a right that all children have, that we can diversify our educators and make sure that we have outcomes that are not based on the color of your skin or where you live. So I'm really excited to work on policy that makes sure that schools are great no matter where children live in the state of Minnesota. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
This Minnesota Business Partnership, please come forward. The Association of Metropolitan School Districts. Welcome to our committee. Please say your name and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Jim Bartholomew with the Minnesota Business Partnership. The members of the Business Partnership are the leaders of Minnesota's larger employers, General Mills, 3M, the Mayo Clinic, and collectively they employ over 400,000 Minnesotans and 2 million people worldwide. Education is a priority for our members because their ability, Minnesota's ability, to thrive in a global, knowledge-based economy is dependent on the quality of education every student receives. The middle column of our handout, which I think you received in your packets, looks like this, covers both the principles that our members use in determining education policies as well as our agenda for the 2017 legislative session. In short, our policies are designed to ensure that all students have access to world-class academic standards and expectations, and that we're able to provide uniform information to families, educators, and the public about student progress relative to those standards. The final two principles, ensuring educators have the flexibility they need to provide effective instructional programs, and that families have the ability to select the program that they believe will best meet their children's needs, are intended to maximize the match between how different teachers teach and different students learn. The flip side is our legislative priorities, and I'll just run through those quickly as hopefully we'll get an opportunity to talk with you further through the session. But the first one is intended to ensure that low-income families have the ability to choose the school they think will best meet their children's needs. They may well choose to stay at the school they're currently enrolled in, but if there's a better alternative that they think would be there, they should have that option. The second item supports your efforts to provide families with information about early education providers, the Parent Aware program, and again, to give low-income families the financial assistance they need to access quality services. The middle item is, really two issues. One is we support the legislature's work to create a tiered licensure system that will finally provide clarity about teacher licensure options and requirements. And second, as was just mentioned, Minnesota is one of the last states in the country that requires, if no local alternative is available, that teachers be laid off strictly by seniority. We believe a teacher's performance should be considered when looking at retention. The fourth item is intended to help improve communication between our schools and families about the value of objective information on student progress. Specifically, our state's MCA tests in reading, writing, and reading, math, and science are the only objective information families and the public have on student progress relative to our standards. Unfortunately, some high schools have begun urging families and students to opt out of the MCAs. As a result, objective information on student progress is lost, limiting our ability to provide students and schools with interventions if necessary. And finally, School leaders play a critical role in determining the success of their students, and we'd ask that you continue to support the Minnesota Principals Academy, a professional development program with a track record of success. And with that, thank you, and we look forward to working with you on behalf of Minnesota students.
Ms. Grubner. Good morning, everyone, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lori Grivna from Amundsen Strategies, but I'm here today on behalf of Scott Prunquist, who's the Executive Director of the Association of Metropolitan School Districts, or we call AMSD. AMSD is comprised of 40 school districts, 6 intermediate education cooperative districts, and 3 integration districts, enrolling over half of the public school children in the state of Minnesota. The board of directors includes one superintendent and one school board member from each member district. And AMSD believes state education policy and resource allocation must recognize and support the unique needs of metropolitan districts and student achievement. Our policy, education policy priorities this session include many of the policies that other folks have mentioned, including providing teacher licensure governance clarity and the flexibility within a tiered licensure system in order for districts to attract teachers, particularly in the shortage areas. We also support reducing the mandates that increase administrative expenses and limit the control of the locally elected school boards to meet the needs of their local districts. And I know that we talk about mandates all the time, but to truly be aware, last session there were many mandates that were put into place and piled into either the world's best workforce or other areas that do create this burden on the local level. And so we will be talking with you individually about these mandates and give you some suggestions of things that we think could be repealed or rethought. We also believe that we should replace the local high school MCA test with a nationally recognized college entrance exam that measures college and career readiness. And then we also support, as many have, the expansion of the innovation zone law to allow greater flexibility for local districts to innovate in their areas. And there are some barriers that we have identified that we will be talking with you as well as that bill moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. MREA, and let's have Schools for Equity. Mr. Lundell, way back there. Eric Moss, I think you're sitting high up, too. You should make your way down here.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Sam Walseth, and I'm the Director of Legislative Action for the Minnesota Rural Education Association. We're an organization that represents 223 independent school districts, a number of service cooperatives, educational cooperatives, education districts, special education cooperatives across greater Minnesota. Richard Grossel, I've made the trip many times to Lake of the Woods each year. Dr. Hess, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Lutz all send their greetings today. I know how far of a drive it is and that Brainerd is not exactly northern Minnesota. So we're here. We share many of the same interests, similar interests that you'll hear from the school district representatives, teacher shortages being a hot-button issue across, well, many districts across the entire state, but also in deep areas of greater Minnesota. Just looking forward to working with the committee this session on a number of educational issues. And Madam Chair, I'd be remiss if I didn't also add a little bit of some of the other work I do. I do work for a firm and represent a number of other educational interests as well beyond just rural school districts. Some of you may not will notice that Ms. Keefe is not here today. She has retired. She was my business partner. She's retired, and so me and my colleague Joe Gould up in the stand there, if you'd wave. I will be doing some additional work this year with the Minnesota Library Association, including school media specialists. We'll also be doing some work with the School Nutrition Association, talking about school meals. We'll also be doing some work on youth development for after-school programs with Ignite After School, including also with the YMCA, and working on youth development initiatives. So a number of issues, but I think primarily over the last many years I've been known as the rural education guy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Walseth. Thank you for adding those other responsibilities that you'll share with us. Mr. Lundell, welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brad Lundell. I'm the Executive Director of Schools for Equity and Education. We're a 60-member organization, a lot of the ex-urban school districts, but also I think we touch every border except South Dakota. I think that's all. We don't have a South Dakota for, district yet. Much of what has been said, I will just endorse. I think we're looking for a lot of flexibility. I think what we've talked about with the innovation zones. I think one thing, as early learning was talked about, we certainly want to have districts have the flexibility to do what they need to do. One of the things we're worried about is if there's a top-down kind of this is what early learning is going to look like, that could impinge on districts' transportation costs, facility needs, those types of things. So certainly flexibility is in order there. The teacher shortage, which has been talked about by many other people, is something that we're certainly looking at. I think we've participated or have monitored the task force that's been working over the summer. I think there's been some good work there, and I think we want to, you know, continue our work there as well. Concurrent enrollment is another thing. We certainly want to make sure as we move forward with the Higher Learning Commission and that new five-year extension there that we start aggressively looking at ways that we can, you know, make sure our concurrent enrollment stays in place. I think, again, we've talked about career technical education. A lot of the districts I work with are not high-revenue districts, and so they've had a very difficult time. They've had to make cuts. And a lot of times the more expensive career and technical courses go by the wayside. We certainly want to make sure that there are incentives there and abilities there for districts to do that. A lot of that boils down to funding, but certainly finding ways to work together is as well. I think I also work with some districts or some organizations outside of Schools for Equity Education, including the school social workers, the school psychologists, and also the school transportation folks. So I guess the thing is there. We'll certainly come with our proposals as things come forward, but certainly, again, I'm a contact person for those people, and I certainly want to welcome any comments you have about those organizations. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lundell. And members, in your minutes that you receive Thursday will be a listing of all of these with their identifications. So if you're not taking notes and it gets to be a lot, please know that you'll have that available through the minutes. Welcome, Ms. Moss. And Educators for Excellence, would you come down, please, as well? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Erica Moss, and I'm the Executive Director of an organization called Close Gaps by Five. We've had a couple other names over the years. There are many new faces. Those of you who are new won't have to learn a new name. And those of you who have been with the committee for a while can now know that things from Close Gaps by Five are coming from me, and we have the same long-standing connection to the business and community leaders who piloted the Paranoia Ratings and Early Learning Scholarships about 10 years ago now. Our priorities for the session are similar to the priorities that we've had for about the last 10 years. We want to have a Minnesota develop an early education set of policies and an early education system that embodies the following core values. We want to help low-income children first with limited state funding and many worthy causes vying for that funding. We must prioritize resources for children and families who can't afford access to high-quality early learning. We need to help low-income children early. Waiting until kids are close to the point of kindergarten entry is too long to wait. Many children are in child care beginning early in their lives. Access to high-quality child care is critically important to their school readiness. We want parents to have flexibility. Many have mentioned the priority of choice. We support that priority as well, thinking about not just different options, but the different schedules, programs that match families' values, learning styles of children. All of those different kinds of options should be in the mix, and families should be in the driver's seat in terms of picking the program that best meets their family's needs. And then, of course, finally, requiring best practices or quality standards. We support the Paranoia Ratings, a shared quality framework that applies across all different types of settings. Again, back to the idea that families should have options, home-based settings, child care centers, as well as schools, Head Start programs, church preschool, all of those things kind of fit under a shared quality framework. So those are our priorities for the session. We are very much looking forward to working with this committee and all of the members on the committee, and hope to be before you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Educators for Excellence. And let's bring down Mary Gilbert. Will you make your way down here? Val Dosland, if you want to speak. And then I'm going to be calling the Council on Latino Affairs. So after these gals have spoken, please be ready. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Shannon Mitchell, and I work for Educators for Excellence. We're a teacher-led nonprofit where our members select issue areas and then go about a lengthy process of researching policy recommendations and surveying their colleagues. Their priorities for this session are two related topics: increasing teacher quality and diversity, and keeping students in the classroom learning. So under that first bucket of teacher quality and diversity, their policy recommendations are focused on three things, and they're very interested in ensuring the licensure process is clear, easy to navigate, for high-quality out-of-state teachers, particularly teachers of color. And I won't say much on that because I think we've heard a lot of that in the people that have already spoke. The second piece is there are some teacher prep programs that are doing this work really well that have very diverse cohorts of teacher candidates, and our teachers would really like to see an investment in those programs that are doing that work and potentially more funding to spur innovation among more programs that would serve diverse cohorts of teachers. And then the last piece is we would like to see the teacher prep report card that was passed in 2015. We would like to see some of that information disaggregated by race, much like we do for the K-12 data, to see which teacher prep programs are doing a great job recruiting and graduating and preparing teachers of color. This would help stakeholders determine which policies and practices to promote, and it would help potential candidates select an institution that would best serve their needs, and that data is currently not available. One impact of having only 4% teachers of color is that our students of color are being pushed out of the classroom at very frequent rates, and we would like to see that suspensions are used as a last resort and not as a go-to measure. One story that sticks in my mind was the Star Tribune article where a 5-year-old was suspended because she wouldn't put away her chapstick. We think that there are some policies that you all could explore that would make suspensions a last resort and would also promote alternatives that have been shown to be effective. There are a lot of evidence-based strategies that districts in Minnesota and across the country are utilizing to drive their suspension numbers down and drive their student and teacher satisfaction survey results and things like that up. So it can and is being done, and we would like to see some of those measures expanded. So with that, I thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell, and thank you for the great meeting last night with all your wonderful teachers. Ms. Gilbert, welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Mary Gilbert, and I'm the legislative liaison for the St. Paul Public Schools, and I've been doing this job since 1987. You can't see the gray underneath the hair coloring that I have. It's been a long time, so I have a lot of history around this place. First, I just want to welcome you to St. Paul, the capital city, and I hope that I'll have an opportunity to take every single one of you to a St. Paul Public School in the next couple months. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how dedicated the teachers are and the students there and how effective the instruction is at the schools. And for us, we are very excited to report back to you that we did get some funding for our teacher residency program that does have nearly 60% of the candidates are teachers of color or going into a special education or high area license, and it's just a really exciting program. And the candidates in the mentor teachers would be very proud to show you that program as well. We'll also be working on trying to maximize the medical assistance reimbursement for special education students. It is the one thing that the state could do that doesn't cost any state money. So I think that will be something that we should look at around mental health services particularly. And so we'll have a variety of things that we'll be working on with you to try and ensure that we provide instructional services to kids that are mostly at risk, special ed, ELL, and poor children. That is primarily the makeup of the majority of the makeup of the kids in our schools.
Thank you. Ms. Dozland.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Dozland. I am a lobbyist at a lobbying firm called Ewald Consulting. I represent a number of different education organizations, two of whom you've heard from today, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators and the Minnesota Community Ed Association. some of the other organizations I represent, and we will be reaching out to you as policy issues arise and as we head towards bill hearings, et cetera. So I represent the intermediate school districts, which are a group of four legislatively designated school districts in the metropolitan area who provide services to member school districts primarily in the areas of high-cost, low-incident special education services and career in tech. I also represent the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials, which are your school finance directors, your school accountants. They are, as I affectionately refer to them, they are the bean counters of school districts. And I also represent the Minnesota Head Start Association. And lastly, the Northwest Evaluation Association. Many of you might be very familiar of the tests that local school districts, many local school districts do, called the Measure of Academic Progress. And we'll certainly be reaching out to you to talk about what that looks like in your school districts. Thank you very much for the time today. I look forward to getting to know all of you and getting the chance to hear more about your priorities and talk with you about issues as we move forward in session.
Thank you, Ms. Desland. The Council on Latino Affairs, please. Josh Don, do you want to be on deck, please? Welcome. Please say your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair Erickson. I'm Violeta Hernandez. Thank you, members, also for the opportunity to briefly present myself in the Minnesota Council on Latino Affairs. I am one of the agency's legislative and policy liaisons, and I will be focusing on education issues for the council, so I will be around for these meetings. We work alongside our executive director, Mr. Jimenez, and our 15-member council. And as one of the three state ethnic councils, the Council on Latino Affairs has the mandate, in summary, to advise and inform the governor's office and members of the legislature on matters or issues of importance to Minnesotan Latino communities. So we are here to support your work, and we look forward to supporting the work as much as our team can. And Isabel, on a personal note, my home region is southern Minnesota. I graduated from the United South Central School District, so small town, Wells, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy to see greater Minnesota well represented. So with that, thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. We look forward to working with you. Welcome, Mr. Dunham.
Good morning, members. Josh Downham. I have the honor of representing the Minneapolis Public Schools as well as Serve Minnesota. Serve Minnesota is the state's commission on national and community service. You may know the term AmeriCorps. So we are the state's AmeriCorps federal organization. And so the two programs that you may have heard about in your school districts are the Minnesota Reading Corps and the Minnesota Math Corps. Those are two that I work closely with. We also have the Promise Fellows this year and College Possible. So there are a number of education-related AmeriCorps programs that you'll hear about this session. But Reading Corps and Math Corps are in about 750 schools and pre-K sites around the state, serving over 30,000 students. And then on the Minneapolis public school side, I will be very brief. I had the opportunity, as I was putting together our legislative agenda this session, to talk to a number of students, and I polled them. I said, here are 10 worthy things that you may consider funding. And you know the two that rose to the top from our students, and I think it says something very important about what we're facing. The number one thing they said is mental health support. So many of our students face trauma, whether it's homelessness or other issues. My students ask for mental health services as their number one priority. The second most important thing they said was getting more teachers of color in the classroom. So I look forward to working with all of you and building those pathways to higher education and some of the CTE work and how those all work together. So, Madam Chair, thanks for the time.
Thank you. Well, the Chamber and MACD, we can't forget teacher preparation, so we need Ms. Christ up here, and
welcome to our committee, both of you. Ms. Christ, why don't you begin? Ms. Christ represents the Minnesota Association of Colleges of Teacher Education, so she'll be with us a lot.
Yeah, Cindy Christ with MACTE, Minnesota Association of Colleges for Teacher Education, which is comprised of the 31 public and private colleges and universities in Minnesota that prepare teachers. I'll just be very brief. We have, I think, many of our priorities for this session revolve around the issues that the chair has helped the discussion of over the last 6 months, the Legislative Study Group on Educator Licensing. So we look forward to working with all of you to, put in place a tier licensure system that will help teachers understand their path into and through teaching and help school districts hire the teachers they need. Clarify governance issues that have been unclear or inconsistent, and then we're looking forward to seeing the language that we know is coming forward from staff, addressing some of the legislative inconsistencies and in some cases contradictory language that were identified by the Office of the Legislative Auditor. Then our other two priorities are teacher diversity and teacher shortage. And I think you've heard those many times, and they're all connected. They're all very interconnected. So we look forward to working with you. We're a small organization with a very small budget, and I'm supposed to be very part-time. So you may not see me up here quite as much as you see some of my colleagues, but we always want to be on call for you to provide information. In fact, just a brief comment. Our members were very concerned my first year in this contract position with them when they found out that I'd registered as a lobbyist, because they said, we thought we were clear, we didn't want to lobby the legislature, we just wanted to be a source of research-based information. And I said, well, that's how we function, but the description of what I do matches the state's description of a registered lobbyist. So, you know, if it looks like a duck, then, yeah, you know that one. Finally, if I could just briefly say, I got a text message earlier from Erin Doan from the Minnesota Board of Teaching, asking me if I could share her regrets with you. She had intended to be here this morning. She had child transportation duties, and after she had concluded those and was still stuck at some distance from the Capitol, she decided she could do a better service to the state going into the office at that point than continuing to fight traffic down here. But she wanted you all to know that she had intended to be here, and looks forward to working with all of you. Thank you,
Ms. Christ. Stacey, before you begin, Adosh, would you come down so that I make sure we hear from the department? I know there are others who want to speak, but if you would come and take the seat. This is our government liaison with the department, a very important person, so we don't want to end today without hearing from Mr. Ooney. Welcome, Chamber of Minnesota.
Thank you. I'm Stacey Stout with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, Director of Education and Workforce Development. I'm looking forward to meeting those of you I haven't met yet, so it's exciting to see the committee members here. We have over 2,300 members in the Minnesota Chamber, businesses of all sizes, and the concern we hear the most is workforce shortage. We've been able to gather some numbers from our members, and from what we've gathered, we have over 70% in the metro area reporting trouble finding workers, and over 74% in the greater Minnesota area reporting that trouble. So we have a lot of concern about making sure that students are graduating from high school ready for the workplace or ready for post-secondary education. Minnesota is known for its workforce, and in order for us to remain and have that status, have the strong workforce that draws people here, draws businesses here, we need to continue to make sure that our education system is strong. Some of the priorities that we have are ensuring that students are kindergarten ready. And so, of course, that's early childhood education. We have heard a number of people speak about that this morning. We're very supportive of early childhood scholarships. We want to make sure that these children are in quality providers, ensuring that once they get to kindergarten, they are ready, and that is closing that preparation gap is key to closing the achievement gap. We're also very supportive of the reforms that are taking place or will be taking place with the teacher licensure system. It's important that there's consistency and transparency so that we have the best teachers in every classroom. And as others have noted today, we want to make sure that we're able to keep and retain those teachers that are serving our students best. And one other issue I just want to highlight is the post-secondary options. We know there's been a number of issues there, and we'll be very supportive of ensuring that that system remains strong throughout our state. Thank you so much. I look forward to meeting those of you I haven't met yet individually, and it's good to see the rest of you back here. Thank you.
Thank you. And members, and those in the audience, if you did not get to speak today, Thursday I will call on you, and Thursday we're going to hear an overview from Ms. Appare about that which the Department of Education has purview, as well as what we as legislators have purview over. So I can lead off with some of those, but I did want to end today with Mr. Ooney, who became a father last year during session, and that was very exciting. So we welcomed a baby last year too. But Adosh Ooney is our go-to person. So welcome, and please begin.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Adosh Ooney. I'm the Director of Government Relations at the Department of Education. And first, I'd like to also point out my Deputy Director, Caitlin Snyder. She'll also be in front of you testifying and meeting with many of you on issues. I'd really like to point out that we're the resource for all of you for in-depth information you want to go very deep into the details and facts and stuff. Obviously, please, your researchers, partisan and nonpartisan, are great resources, but we're also a resource for up-to-date information on where the programs are at. We can also provide input on any proposed legislation that you have. I would love to be able to tell you what the priorities are of the governor at this point, but he's still making his decisions. His budget is going to be put out on the 24th, and then 2 weeks thereafter we'll have to provide the budget language there. With the policy language, it should be somewhere around in that time frame, I'm sure the commissioner will be coming in front of you to be able to discuss her omnibus bills. I would just like to reiterate that, you know, it's our pleasure to be here at your beck and call. If you have any questions about anything, we'll be happy to answer it. And Mr. Brennan, congratulations, but also my condolences. It's the grueling nature of this session and a new fresh out of the oven baby is a tough task to handle, but I'm sure you'll be able to do it.
Oh, Mr. Ooney, we're very proud that you survived and you're doing very well, and we appreciate you, so thank you very much. And members, with that, this meeting is adjourned.